Thank you for that reading. Once again, I'm Steve Walker. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at Barney's. And it's sad that we're leaving, it is, but I'm so thankful for the privilege it is to come and preach the word here. I'll do that straight away, so we'll get into it. Now, what is the relationship between Christians and the government? I mean, the title of this talk is Christianity, Obedience, and the Government. So we can assume that I'm going to say something about obeying the government. But should we obey the government? If yes, is it always no matter what? Or is it some of the time? If it's some of the time, when is it yes? When is it no? How do we decide? These are important questions. And as always, we need God's help to understand what he wants us to know from his word. So I'll pray. Let's pray together. Faithful God, you cause all holy scripture to be written for our learning. Help us so to hear them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and always hold firmly to the blessed hope of your everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, where might you start a conversation about obedience and the government? Well, I think we should start where all Christian theology should start, and that is the gospel. The gospel, or all-important message, or all-important news of Jesus, is a message. The message is fairly simple, but it has many implications. The thrust of the message is that one day soon, we will all answer to the creator of our world for how we've fallen short in relating to him. That includes you. You will be judged, and because the judge is perfect in his judgment, you'll be found guilty. But that's only one half of the message. The second half of the message is wonderful news. It's that the Lord God himself came to earth as a human, and he was named Jesus. But more than simply coming down, he provided a solution to our problem with God. But I said there are implications. There are many, many consequences of this news. But we're only going to look at a couple. The first one, of course, is that you have a decision to make. If this is true, and it is, you have a decision about whether or not you're going to continually and proudly march towards an awful punishment, or turn back to God and accept a gift that's free to you, complete and total forgiveness. That's the first implication. You need to decide what you're going to do. The second consequence has to do with Jesus himself. And that is because he died on the cross and rose again, Jesus is now the king or ruler, king and ruler, rather, of the whole world. Now, one of my favorite places this is laid out is in one of Paul's letters. It's in Philippians 2, where Paul writes of Jesus that he is in very nature God and that he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is God. He is the Christ, the Lord, the King, Lord of the whole world, in fact. And when this and the rest of the New Testament was written, these were fighting words. Because if Jesus is Lord, then Caesar is not. A message like this is the kind of thing that gets you into trouble with the authorities. In fact, we see exactly that in places like Acts 17. You can look at Acts 17 verses 1 to 8 for yourself, but there you see the apostles getting into trouble because they're proclaiming Christ as Lord, and that means Caesar is not. But the point is, from the beginning, Christians have been telling people that Jesus is above every other authority. So everyone else, from Caesar to Sultan, from President to Prime Minister, all of them are within his commands. Now, what is this to do with Christians and the governing authorities? Well, firstly, Jesus ruling the world is the basis for how Christians think about all other authority. Ultimately, we know and understand that Jesus is in charge. He's the highest authority. There is none above him or before him. He is not subject to other rulers. They are subject to him. And that directly affects how we think about all other authorities. And that's why we understand that there are rare times when we must refuse to obey earthly authorities. So ultimately, they come under Jesus' authority. Or to put it another way, when there's a contest between the authorities of earth and Jesus, well, God is the one we obey. Now, the key passage for this comes from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts, we have a story of how Christianity grew after Jesus died and rose again from the dead and went up into heaven. Now, Acts at this point is following the events around the apostle or spokesman for Christ, Peter, the apostle Peter. And there's a number of incredible events that lead large numbers of people become Christians. More and more people are becoming Christians because of what the apostles are doing and saying. But we read that the Jewish authorities were so jealous of the apostles that they had them thrown into jail, only to have an angel come and release them during the night. These Jewish authorities gather them up again, and we read this from verse 27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin. That's sort of the council of all the different Jewish elders. Appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. We must obey God rather than human beings. This is one of those statements in the Bible that's simple enough to understand, but becomes more and more complex the more you think about it. Now, I won't presume to say all that could be said or to answer all your questions about this passage here, but I remind you that we do have a question time, and I hope that you will send in questions about this if you have them. I'll just make three statements about this, and then I'll move on. Number one, while the New Testament broadly moves us towards obeying the governing authorities, sometimes at great personal cost, it's clear that obedience is not a universal command. Right? Sometimes the right thing to do is to disobey or perhaps refuse to obey. So there is a space for not obeying the governing authorities. Number two, the reason to disobey that's given here is extremely limited. It's restricted to when Christians are being directly instructed to disobey God. So we must take great care in expanding beyond that narrow context or forcing whatever current situation we have into that definition. Thirdly, we must be willing to suffer the consequences of that choice. We can't expect to just disobey the governing authorities and for that to be acceptable and fine. Right? Towards the end of the passage, the apostles are actually beaten before they're released. But verse 41 says they rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. This was entirely unjust, but they bore it like Christians. So obeying governing authority is not a universal command. There are times when we must disobey, but that reason is extremely limited, so we must be cautious in invoking it too quickly. And we must be willing to suffer the consequences if we do. Now, of course, if you have further questions about, please, you can send them in at any time. We'll get to those questions, as many of those questions as we can. But I want to keep moving because disobeying the governing authorities is not the main thrust of the New Testament's teaching on this. As far as the New Testament goes, it's just not the way that Christians are to interact or respond to the governments and authorities. Now, you might expect that. You might expect that Christians, that is, those who have placed themselves under the highest authority in the world, refuse to acknowledge the various small leaders of the territories of the earth. But that's not the case. That's not how it goes. And the example of King Jesus himself is a big reason why. We heard Mark 12 read before. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I've got the slide up for you so you can check it. It's the story of how a couple of groups banded together to try and trap Jesus in his words by asking, should we pay taxes to Caesar? It's a trap. It's a trap question. It's one of those heads I win, tails you lose kind of questions. If he says, yes, pay them to Caesar, then he's supporting a deeply unpopular tax on his Jewish people by the Romans that ruled over them. So he'd be in trouble with the Jewish people. If he says, no, don't pay the tax, then he's publicly encouraging people not to pay the tax, and he'll find himself in trouble with the Roman authorities. His answer, unsurprisingly, is the wisdom of God. He responds, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. Now, of course, there's much that we could say about this. Whole books are written about this one sentence, in fact. But I want us to see that when the Lord Jesus himself had the opportunity to defy the authorities, he told us to give what was due to them. He could have mounted a case that said this is an unjust tax and so you shouldn't pay it. He could have said a number of things, but when he had this opportunity, he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And this is how we make sense of passages like the other one that was read for us, Romans 13, and this one I will read for us. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for nothing, for no reason, rather. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Once again, there's much we could say about this passage. It really deserves its own sermon, but I'm only going to highlight one thing. Did you notice why we're to obey the governing authorities? What's the reason that was given? It's because, verse 1, there is no authority that hasn't been established by God. This means as Christians, we know who's really in control. We know who's really in charge. And while we don't always know what the plan is, we know whose plan it is and our role in it. Our role is to obey the authorities that the Lord Jesus has placed us under. In fact, we obey King Jesus by obeying the authorities he has placed us under. So give to everyone what you owe them, verse 7. Don't let people pay you in cash so that you can get out of paying the GST. Pay what you owe. If tax, then tax. If you buy or sell a car, put the amount you actually bought or sold it for on the rego form and pay the RMS what you owe. Why would you rob those God has set over you? They give their full time to governing, to providing services, to taking care of things for the community, and you're shortchanging them and disobeying your king. And while I expect there'll be a question on this in question time, I'll say something about it now. I think when it comes to obeying our governments, I think that leads us to say we ought to get vaccinated if we can. Now, if you can't, that's different. Maybe it's not available to you yet for various reasons, or maybe you have a medical reason why you shouldn't. But our government has determined that the best way for us as a community to remain as safe as we can from COVID-19 is for as many of us as possible to be vaccinated. So we should obey our government. I don't see a reason why we can disobey the government on this particular issue. Now, to be clear, I'm a pastor. I'm not an expert in this field. You should go and talk to your GP. But the Bible tells me that I'm to obey the governing authorities unless they instruct me to disobey God. And I don't think I'm being instructed to disobey God in this matter. But I'm out of time because I want to give more time to question time, particularly today. If I were to take more time, what I would do is I would take us to 1 Timothy 2, and I'd exhort us to pray for those in authority. I don't think we take this command, this exhortation, seriously enough. We need to be praying for those in authority for many reasons. But I haven't the time to discuss that just now. For now, I'll simply sum up what I've said so we can sing and get to question time. The Lord Jesus is the highest authority. He rules the world. All the other governing authorities are under his authority. And Christians are to follow the example he led when he was on earth. His example was to obey earthly authorities. For him, that was all the way up to his death, because he understood that God establishes them all. And Christians, others similarly, are to obey those in authority over us because we understand that we're obeying God by doing so. Now, we haven't talked about how that can be particularly difficult or maybe even dangerous for us, but as Christians, we know we are entrusting ourselves to God. So I'll let Romans have the final word. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. I'll lead us in prayer to ask God to help us to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for the times we disobey you. We are sorry for the times when we disobey the authorities you place over us. Thank you that we know forgiveness if we turn back to you. Please help us to obey you by obeying those under whose authority you place us. We pray for them too, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives. Help us to live lives that please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.